Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm talking to you about how to take a really big idea or something complex or something that you've been thinking about for a while and how to test it and validate it within just 8 days. Now, for those of you who've never heard of design sprints before, this is a method that's backed by Google Ventures, and many really big companies have been using this technique to take an idea from concept to launching within just a very small amount of time. Now, it's based on Jake Knapp's book, The Design Sprint, which you can find on Google and many other places. There's loads of YouTube videos around the design sprint as well. And I have my own videos around that. You can find me on YouTube. Basically, I love this process. I live and breathe design sprints. Just this week, I've been doing a design sprint with a company where they want to completely transform their dashboard. Now, one option that they do have is they could come up with an idea. They could hire a UI UX designer to work on that idea for maybe three months or so. Then they could pass it across to a developer. Developer could spend another 2 months, 3 months building that. And before you know it, you spent 6 months building something. What do you do next? Next, you've got to market it. You've got to put it out into the market. You've got to then find people who want to buy. Now, I've been doing this for over 14 years now. And I have seen multi-million pound companies go into liquidation. People who've come from really big, well-known brands who have tons of confidence in their idea. This is going to work. I just know it. I feel it. I've spoken to a few people. Honestly, the amount of times people have been so like confident over their idea, they've self-endorsed it to the point where they're like, I don't even need to speak to any users. And what's happened is their products have not reach the desired effect that they would like. Now, this could be engagement rate might not be great. It might be funds, you know, they're not getting the revenue that they were hoping for from it. They're not getting the sales. It's not sticky. Users aren't becoming obsessed with their product like they thought. You're obsessed with it. You spent 6 months dreaming about it, going to bed at night, thinking of all these different amazing ideas. Maybe you don't really know where to start. You are completely obsessed with the product. If your users and the people who are using it aren't as obsessed as you, you have an instant fail. And that's one of the biggest concerns of companies is my product going to work? Are people going to buy it? So going back to the design sprint process, this is a really, really quick way to test an idea and validate it in 8 days. You will know in 8 days' time if your product is going to be a success or if it's going to fail. Now, if it does fail, amazing. You've only spent 8 days. And from those 8 days, not only have you realized it's not working how you thought it would, you also have an opportunity because you've gained knowledge. You've gained learnings from users, because within that design sprint process within 8 days, what we do is we spend 1 day testing a very quick and dirty prototype, normally like a grayscale version with users. We get feedback. That feedback gives us knowledge. Knowledge gives us power. Power enables us to go back into Figma or whatever design software that you use. And we iterate upon that design based upon the feedback that we've been given. And to do this, you actually only need 5 or 6 participants. And we carefully select those participants because they've got to be well-rounded in terms of we can't have any bias. We can't pick our friends. You know, they have to be, you know, maybe we pick somebody who would be a power user versus somebody who is a little bit of a novice, bit more skeptical. And so forth. And when we do this, we get around, I think it's 87% of usability issues are identified with only 5 to 6 participants. If you don't do any testing on your product and you spent 6 months on it, you will not understand any issues that are arising during that process. You're trying to polish something that actually might not be that great. And I see it time and time again, people want to add loads and loads of features into it. Let's do this, let's do that. If I'm working with a client and they say to me, Claire, I don't want you to test with users, I would say, okay, but we're only going to identify maybe 40, 50% of usability issues with just my knowledge. There is just no way on earth I could identify 100% or even close to that of usability issues, even though I've got 14 years of experience. Why? Because I have to work with the end user. User experience design is all about making it user-centric. If we're not involving users, it's not user experience design. The amount of times I go into companies and they've hired like UX designers, but they're not involving their users is absolutely baffling to me, because you get proof of concept so fast if you put it in front of people. People are scared. People are scared to put it in front of people. I had a conversation with another client yesterday. They're scared to put it in front of people because they're going to come back and they're going to say, we want to change this. We want to do this. What about this? We don't like that. They're scared of that. So what are they going to do? They're going to spend another month or two working on it to make it even better. And then they're going to put it out in front of that audience. I mean, what's more scary? I would find it more scary and risky doing it after months and months of hard work. Now, the danger is not doing it. That's why design sprints are amazing. Day one, and day two is like planning. We have like a planning session, really understand. I do some like pre-planning. It's not 100% necessary, but it makes a massive difference. Pre-planning is where I go in and do some research. And those 8 days might be over a 2-week period. So we get a breathing space. Now, some people can dedicate 8 days back to back. What I've found working with most corporate companies is to try and get everybody on board for a short space of time is quite difficult. People have got other commitments and other priorities within that company. So day one and day two is something we definitely need the actual client or stakeholders to be on board with, because everybody has to be on board with the planning side of it. What is our goal? We run a workshop called How Might We? And it's where we take a problem and we put a positive spin on it. And within 1 hour of doing that workshop, you will know exactly what solution you need to start thinking about. And it's amazing how running workshops and facilitating them has really transformed the way that I run my own design company, because I used to just have discussions with people around, you know, what is it, your problems, what is it we want to achieve, where do we want to go? And it was very client-led. This is a workshop, it's constrained, it's restricted, we have boundaries, and we don't do much talking, which for me is amazing, because I'm somebody who could talk myself to death, talk other people to death, and everybody would end up fast asleep and exhausted. Instead, we all preserve some energy, we do voting. Everybody gets an input, which is amazing, because it doesn't always happen when you've got big personalities around a table. You can do it remotely and you can do it in person. It's great. Within an hour, we know exactly what we're going to be tackling in the ideation workshop. Day two is the ideation workshop. We start to actually think about ideas of how we can actually solve this problem. Again, it's very collaborative. We try to keep discussions to a minimum. And we try to have more structure to it. And I found this to be super successful. People get very excited when ideas and things are starting to form, and they can start to see that end vision just on day two. And then day three and four is the day that I would then normally go back to my design studio, start ideating. and Figma, coming up with a grayscale prototype, testing it internally. Is this going to work? Day five, I then go and test it with participants. I just put it in front of people. We do some usability tests and normally do it over one day, get their feedback, take loads of notes, take the learnings from that at the end of the day. Day six and seven, I iterate on that. So we're really quickly understanding what's working, what's not working. We're then refining what we've thought of. We might have to scrap some bits. We might need to come up with a new idea. And then on day eight, present that back to the client. Now, at that point, the client has got proof of concept. They've got a high fidelity grayscale prototype that they can then go, right, I'm really confident now with this. I'm really happy. I'm now going to go and get a UI designer. And we're going to fully flesh this out now because we have that confidence. And that's what it is. It's that your ticket to confidence, your ticket to getting your users completely obsessed about it. You know, like when you watch Netflix and you can't stop binging, watching different series, or maybe you found someone on Instagram, I've done this before, and for some reason or another, you can't stop looking at their content. It becomes bingeable. Imagine having clients or customers of your own who are absolutely obsessed with what you are doing and want to be a part of it, whether it's be that community, following you on Facebook, engaging on your product, buying things from you. Imagine that feeling. And the only way to get to that feeling is understanding and empathy. So that's why always in everything that I do, we start off with an empathy phase, whereas we really understand what it is that our users are wanting. Understand what are their pain points, what are their frustrations, why do they feel like this, what is beneath this feeling. And we start to look at the human behavior, the psychology behind it. And then we move on to going, right, what could a possible solution be to this? How can we solve that problem? It's a bit of prioritization that happens. And sometimes people at the end of 8 days go, actually, you know what? There's another area I really want to focus on that came out of the feedback that I think we could explore and test again. And because we've already got a prototype, the next process is quite a lot faster. So we can do the next iteration within just 5 days. And then if you want to do it again, you just do another 5 days. And can you imagine you've done 4 or 5 iterations of your product that's been validated by users and you're only 1 month in? I find that fascinating. It saves you time. It saves you money. It gives you absolute confidence in what you are doing. I always say to my clients, like, look, do you want to go to market with a high risk strategy and a high risk product and real uncertainty? Or do you want to go into that market on the day you launch that product with certainty and a low risk approach? Like, why would anybody choose going into something where they don't know what the outcome's going to be? So using design sprints is a real way to understand and to validate what we're thinking in a really short frame of time. Really short time. I was going to say time frame. It really enables us to get some understanding. I'm one of those people, I have to have understanding. This isn't just in work, this is in life. If I don't know why somebody's doing something the way that they are, or why they're behaving in a way that they are, I want to know why. Because when we have understanding, we can then empathize. If you don't understand why somebody, like a friend or something like that, is behaving the way that they are or saying things that they're saying, you're going to be really unsympathetic and you're just going to be really like, well, I just don't know why they are the way they are. That's, you know, but what we can do is learn to empathize and sympathize and show maybe some compassion as well when we have that understanding. And by being able to do that, we can put ourselves in the user's shoes, which makes it user-centric. And then we can design solutions that fit their desired outcomes and what we feel that they need. And it enables us to meet their needs as well. And with products, we have, I find about 100 to 150 unmet needs for every single product that I work on. And a lot of the times when people come with a product, they say, yeah, we're ticking all those boxes. They're probably ticking about five because they're very output focused and not outcome focused. When you're outcome focused, you're not actually thinking about your product. And that's where they become in that mindset of my product does everything, because they're just looking at the output and what their product does. But actually, unmet needs might create solutions which aren't your product. So one way I like to look at this is, let's think of a scenario. Say, for example, you want to search for something. So Google or Yahoo or all these other search engines have come up with a search engine. We can meet that need of being able to search for something that's output driven. Okay. So when we're outcome driven, we focus on more of not what the user wants from a feature perspective, but what the user wants from an outcome perspective, a desired goal. So we're going a little bit broader, looking at it a little bit more holistically. So when we look at an outcome, we might be thinking, actually, this person just wants answers. Look at ChatGPT, look at AI. If we focus on solely on our product and enhancing our products, we might miss opportunities because we're focusing on outputs and not outcomes. So when we look at user needs, we're looking at what unmet needs there are, and there will always be solutions. And that's why in designing products, we tend to not focus on designing for features, which are outputs. We tend to design for outcomes, which are goals and desires, and that way can completely transform what you actually intend to put out in front of your audience. And unmet needs, or needs just in general, tend to not change, but products will. Always remember that your product can constantly change. One minute you might be a search engine, next minute you might be doing artificial intelligence if you are focusing on user needs. If you're only focusing on your outputs and you're only focusing on your features and you're just wanting to be the best search engine, you're going to miss opportunities. Look how AI has now come in and is completely transforming the way that we do things. You don't want to miss an opportunity. So it's really important to have those user needs met. And when I do really big projects and we start from looking at the market, and when I launch products from scratch, essentially, and we're not doing a proof of concept here, we're looking at branding, we're looking at strategy, everything like that, we go into such depth and detail to understand the market first, and then we position the product to fit and make sure it's a market fit. That's so important. Before then, we can do a proof of concept. But some people want to come along and just do a proof of concept straight away. They've got a quick idea. They want to know if it's going to be worth anything before they spend any more time understanding their user. You know, both approaches work really well, but I'm a massive advocate for research. But the best way to actually do some research is in a small sprint. So you could take, I'm just going to do 1 week sprint and we're going to solve this problem and we're going to answer this question and we're going to do a research sprint. I'm going to do a design sprint. You know, you can do a brand sprint if you really want to. So they're just short stints enabling you to get some knowledge, give you power, and then create something that is tailored to those needs. Hope that makes sense.